ShareCare, helping you get younger, get guidance, get better care, get smart, get fit. Radio MD presents ShareCare Radio with Daria Long Gillespie, MD.
Hi, it's Dr. Daria, and welcome back to ShareCare Radio. I'm here with Dr. Drew Ramsey, psychiatrist at Columbia Presbyterian Hospital, author and founder of National Kale Day. Welcome to the show, Dr. Ramsey.
Thank you so much, Dr. Daria. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you. Let's dive right in. We're talking today about stress and the health impacts. Tell me, can stress ever be healthy?
I think stress is helpful for all of us to push us to perform a little bit better. I mean, we all deal with stress, with deadlines, with things that makes us anxious, and that helps us push ourselves to greater heights. But we all know that stress can also take an incredible toll if it's unchecked.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. There is a value to stress. It gets us to achieve those things that we may not otherwise do. But you're right, it can be unhealthy. What are some signs that we've crossed that line from healthy to unhealthy?
My favorite vital sign on this is sleep. I think if people can't fall asleep because they're so worried or their sleep quality is really deteriorating, that and uncontrolled eating. When stress starts interfering with your eating, you're not taking a deep breath and being mindful with your food or planning your food in any way, if you're just rushing about, those are two signs I have that your stress is out of control.
Okay, well, let's get into that sleep a little bit more. Do you mean if somebody is just kind of ruminating on things at night and having trouble falling asleep or waking themselves up, or can it impact all of those?
I like all of those. I mean, for sure, we all kind of sometimes worry a little bit, and that prevents us from falling asleep right away. But when that's going on for more than 15 or 20 minutes, or there's a lot of awakening or during the night, or when people wake up just not feeling rested, they've been grinding their teeth or having nightmares, those are all signs that your stress is impacting your sleep really negatively.
Okay. And then as it impacts your diet, you mentioned, just because you just don't have time and you're kind of rushing through the day?
Yeah, just that people get really preoccupied with stuff other than their food, which really is one of the most important decisions you make every day, if not the most important. And so instead of mindfully considering, you know, how you're going to nourish yourself for breakfast, lunch, and dinner over the next couple of days and doing some basic planning, people just rush from meal to meal.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting because you are the author of The Happiness Diet. So not only is stress can impact how we're eating, but our food can help us, right?
That's right. My main worry that people are going to be so stressed, they're going to forget to load up on kale, right?
National Kale Day.
Stress impacts what people crave. We all tend to use food as a kind of medicine for stress. So there's a lot of just stress eating that, you know, you're not really in need of food or hungry, but you just feel better if you're chewing on something or drinking something. Mm-hmm. So those kinds of meals that sometimes people make good choices, like, you know, a great stress-busting snack that I love is dark chocolate and almonds, because they're both really good for your brain and they help you focus. So that's a good choice, but sometimes people make really bad choices. They want to, you know, they've got to have a giant soda or a milkshake or a big bag of potato chips. That we all know that's not the right stuff to really fight stress and anxiety in any way. You're just going to be more worried.
Yeah, that just could compound things. So tell me about dark chocolate and almonds. How much are we talking about?
Well, so for almonds, I mean, almonds are a calorically dense food, but they're one of the best sources of one of my favorite brain nutrients, vitamin E. I tend to go with, you know, thinking about almonds in terms of a handful, or if people who really want to count, you're talking 15 to 30 almonds. And dark chocolate, it really depends how sensitive you are and what time of day. Chocolate can be very stimulating for some people, and so you want to be cautious later in the day. But I'm usually talking between 1 and 3 ounces, you know, a few small squares, and I encourage people, again, really to savor this, mm-hmm. to really enjoy the richness of the chocolate, not just to gobble it down.
Yeah, just like anything else, be mindful about it. And you're right, dark chocolate does have caffeine in it. So if you're having trouble sleeping, you don't want to take it late in the evening. It may compound that difficulty with sleeping.
Yes, for sure. And you know that experience, the difference, you put a piece in your mouth and let it kind of sit there and really enjoy it, how much pleasure you can get out of a piece of dark chocolate. That's really, you know, maximizing your pleasure with the food is a key component to mindfully fighting stress with food, as opposed to having stress induce eating that you don't want to do.
So you're really talking almost about making this snack, instead of being something you're mindlessly eating, turn it into a little experience, a little bit of a break in your day, savor what you're eating, enjoy it, and then get back to your work, which also kind of gives you a little bit of a brain break.
Yes, that's exactly right, Dr. Daria. It's about, you know, instead of just thinking about food as, you know, something that is either in your way or you have to rush to, or even something you're not doing right, think about it as a way that you actively are more present, can be more mindful in your life, and actively combat stress. You're not only getting all the nutrients your brain needs to battle stress, but you're doing it in a way that satisfies you and calms you down and keeps you going.
Okay, really helpful to know. You know, I know you've also talked about a link between omega-3 foods and mood. So, you know, will eating salmon make me happier?
Yeah, I would say that over the long term, what the data shows is that eating more wild salmon will potentially make your kids much smarter and will decrease your risk of encountering some of the major mental illnesses, things like major depression, cognitive loss as you age. The data on omega-3 fats in terms of supplements has really been all over the place recently, and that has a lot of people concerned. I always like to point out we're talking about food, not supplements. And so the data does really implicate that these fats are great for mood, great for your mind overall, something we want to encourage people to get, especially the long-chained ones, the long-chain omega-3 fats found in fatty fish and the bivalves, mussels, oysters.
Really? Okay. So you make a couple of really great points there. One, food, not supplements. Studies have shown benefits of food and vitamins and nutrients from eating it, but not necessarily taking it in pill form.
Yes. I feel like people are going crazy about the headlines. One, you know, a study shows this and a study doesn't show that. And what we're talking about here is an essential long-chain fatty acid that is found in certain foods, specifically seafood. And then a lot of people don't eat enough seafood, so the recommendations that we do in my clinic really revolve around trying to help people get more of these long-chain fats from their food.
Okay, so long-chain fatty acids. I didn't realize that there was a difference between the different kinds of omega-3s.
The short one, you'll see the hype about the chia and the flax, and hey, I love those. Those are good forms. There's really not as much data about the shorter-term omega-3 fats as there is about the data of fish and fish oil. So that's the difference. We convert the shorter one into the longer one, but we're not super efficient at that. So that's where we want to encourage people to eat it.
Okay. All right, so have some salmon. I will have a little bit of extra tonight for my own as well as my daughter's intelligence. Now I know.
And mussels and oysters. Don't forget the bivalves. Those are really, I mean, those are huge underrated sources, especially when we're talking about brain food on a budget. There's not a better deal out there than mussels.
Really? How do you like to prepare them?
So they're really easy to prepare. It's like $8 for 2 pounds usually, and you just put them with just a little bit of water or a little white wine and some herbs in the bottom of a pan and just steam them. It just takes maybe 8 minutes or so. They open up really nicely. You dip them in some garlic butter. It's a great, great slow meal that you can't gobble down because you have to fish out that little mussel.
That's true. But not too much garlic butter. We have to be a little bit careful on that, right?
I don't know. I think it's hard to overdose on garlic butter, but that's my I'm reasonably pro butter, and you just melt a couple tablespoons, and it's hard to find. You know, the garlic, the only consequences will be with those that you're very close with. So
yes, well then everybody has to eat garlic, and then nobody minds as much.
That's a better rule. I like
Drew,
that one.
In our last 45 seconds, can you tell me what's your favorite stress busting meal?
Oh, boy. So for stress busting, I have a couple. One, I love to have eggs, curry, and avocado. I really like that meal. I also put a little kale in there. I'm just big. I really find that eggs really help me with stress more than just about any other food. And then I love my herbal teas. I love just sitting with a cup of tea. I can find if I spend just a couple minutes with some like peppermint and licorice tea, I just find myself in a much more relaxed, better mental place.
Okay, and what are your stress-reducing dessert in 10 seconds?
Oh, stress. Well, we said dark chocolate. Boy, I need another one. I love a macaroon because it has those coconut fats in it that I think are pretty healthy for you. And we already went over dark chocolate, so I can't say that one again.
All right, well, that's great to know. Drew, thank you so much for joining us on Share Care Radio. Check out Dr. Drew on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at DrewRamseyMD. You can also find details for the next National Kale Day on his website, DrewRamseyMD.com. It's Dr. Jari, and you're listening to Share Care Radio on Radio MD. Thanks for listening, and stay well.